Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a job's worth like. I think they're a little bad.
I got a little bit better sound.
Hey, it works for John.
It works for John.
We're back on the web. And we will get started in a minute. On the record. Ms. Moore, you can call your next witness.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. The petitioners would call Mr. Tim Eklund. Please introduce yourself to the commission.
Yes, my name is Tim Eklund.
And by whom are you employed, Mr. Eklund?
I'm employed by Consortia Consulting at 9300 Underwood Avenue in Omaha, Nebraska.
And what specifically is your position with Consortia Consulting?
I'm the Director of Settlements and Financial Analysis.
And what exactly are your job responsibilities?
My job responsibilities primarily are cost study related. And financial analysis and the results of those.
And can you please give the commission a brief overview of your educational background?
Sure. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration with an emphasis in accounting from the Nebraska Wesleyan University in Lincoln, Nebraska.
And can you give the commission a brief overview of your employment history, please?
Yes. 23 years with Lincoln Telephone, Alliant Communications, and Altel. In the last 4 years with Consortia Consulting, so 27 years in this industry.
On whose behalf are you testifying in this proceeding?
I'm testifying on behalf of Kennebec, McCook, Santel, West River. I previously filed direct testimony on March 24th, 2008, and on July 7th, I filed rebuttal testimony for these companies. I will refer to these companies collectively either as the South Dakota RX or by individual company name.
And can you provide the commission with a brief overview of the issues on which you provided testimony?
Yes, I will be addressing issue one, which is identified as is reciprocal compensation rate for NTA traffic proposed by each of the South Dakota Rural Telephone Companies appropriate pursuant to pricing standards of 47252E2. In addressing this issue, I will explain the FCC rules and requirements for the development of the reciprocal comp rates, the flex study that was used to develop these rates, and how the study and ultimate results of each of the companies comply with the FCC rules and standards. For the purpose of my testimony today, I will discuss the FCC rules and requirements more generally. I will refer to the commission to my pre-filed direct and rebuttal testimony for specific citations of those rules that apply to the development of reciprocal compensation rates for the incumbent local exchange areas in this case.
Mr. Eklund, can you describe for the commission the rate for transport and termination that each of the RLECs in this proceeding is asking the commission to adopt?
Yes, Kennebec, McCook, Santel, and West River have each presented a rate for transport and termination. The FCC has defined the terms transport and termination, and Sue Banachek presented testimony to this commission earlier about those definitions and concepts.
And can you talk with the commission about how the transport and termination rate is developed?
The FCC mandates that a rate is to be developed upon what is called a forward-looking economic cost study, or FLEX study, which is what the RLECs have used in this proceeding. Ms. Banachek previously testified about the elements of a FLEX study, specifically that the cost of unbundled network elements, including transport and termination, should equal the sum of the following. One, total element long-run incremental cost of an element, or TELRIC, and a reasonable allocation of forward-looking common cost. The purpose of the FLEX study is to develop a reasonable and justifiable rate which is based upon actual costs that a carrier will incur in the future.
And in looking at the components of that FLEX study, what does the FCC specifically require ELEC to analyze as far as the elements?
There are several elements. First, the total element long-run incremental cost. Transport and termination costs include the cost of traffic-sensitive switching, inter-office transport facilities, both of which are based upon forward-looking network design. Secondly, an efficient network configuration, which takes into consideration switching cost estimates, the location of existing wire centers, transport facility electronic costs, fiber cable costs for inter-office transport, and miles of plan is required for certain types of traffic. The forward-looking capital costs, which are determined using the FCC's 11.25 rate of return, depreciation rates, which are based upon the economic life of each asset class, the reasonable allocation of forward-looking common costs, which looks at RLEC's current account balances, creates ratios shared for those shared and common costs. The ratios are then applied to forward-looking capital costs to determine the forward-looking common cost amount. The forward-looking economic cost per unit, which uses a calculation that divides the total cost of an element by a reasonable projection of the total demand of that element.
Mr. Eklund, is it your opinion that the FLEX studies that have been conducted by the RLECs in this particular proceeding comport with the rules that you just referenced?
Yes, I do. Contrary to Mr. Conwell's assertions, the FLEX model is consistent with the FCC requirements. Additionally, the results have been validated by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in an appeal stemming from a case heard before the Nebraska Public Service Commission.
Can you talk with the commission briefly about how you developed this model?
Yes. Switching termination, as discussed by Mr. Weber in his testimony, Vantage Point established the switch investment for each of the companies. Transport, which is based on a forward-looking network design, which Mr. Weber also just discussed in his testimony. Demand, which is the minutes of use, which were obtained from the most recent traffic studies performed by each of the companies, and then used to determine the switching termination rate. Since the study was performed in 2007, we used the calendar year of 2006. The FLEC model then calculates the cost of transport and termination. It divides the total applicable cost for the two categories, transport and termination, by the demand of total months, which are really divided into three categories, local, EAS, and access. The transport rate is calculated by dividing the sum of the cost, transport cost, by the sum of the EAS and access minutes, excluding local. And the termination rate is calculated by using the termination cost divided by all minutes. Sum of all minutes. I have an overview of the model. The model is, in my opinion, very complex, and I thought it'd be to everyone's advantage to look at an overview. I think these are exhibits, and I'm confused by what exhibits they are.
Tim, I believe if you look in the lower right-hand corner, that would be the exhibit number in your testimony.
Okay.
So if you'd reference that, please.
It's TE-R-1, and it looks like this. And basically, this is a high-level overview. So what goes into the FLEC study is demand data, minutes. Also, a network configuration data, which Mr. Weber just testified on, that produces an engineering design. And then account data, Part 32, FCC Part 32, which is utilized to come up with ratios to allocate using a reasonable allocation to allocate common costs, common investment, and common expenses, or direct and common expenses, excuse me. That all goes into the FLEC model and I'll produce a result, which is what I just talked about, which is the cost divided by the demand. Okay? Exhibit R-2. Then what we have here is all the direct investment coming from Mr. Weber and for switching and transport and the account data to be used for the common cost. That goes into, first of all, a calculation so that it compares old to new and develops ratios for the direct investment, the new common investment, and the new expenses. After that, being excluded from the model is the retail portion. It's being allocated out. So it's retail marketing and retail customer service allocated out. At that point, we have a switch, a total switch, and a total transport cost. Then that switch transport cost, which is on exhibit TER3, comes in, and excluded from the study will be the non-usage sensitive line equipment that was discussed in both Ms. Vanacek and Mr. Weber's testimony. At that point, the model breaks it out between the processor costs and the trunk costs. At that point, on the processor costs, we will exclude what is called on this vertical services. So, voicemail, web, self-care, those kind of things in there. Then we have the remaining trunk costs, which are divided by the transport minutes, and the remaining processor costs, which are divided by the total minutes, and comes up with the rate for each. The sum of those on this is 0.0101, so 1 cent, basically. at this point, I thought I would interject a demand diagram, which is TER6. So what happens here is, I mentioned earlier that we capture switch data, which is all minutes, and capture cab's access so that we know in this box the switch minutes are all minutes. We can't identify them. So we use the cab's access to identify, as you come down, the annual access minutes that are in this box, and the rest is local. Okay? Then we break out local between your, what you probably typically think of local is calling your neighbor minutes, dial-up internet is considered local, and EAS we identify out of that local portion. And the termination or switch calculation uses all minutes, because all of the minutes go through the switch. The transport minutes only use EAS and access. The local minutes and dial-up internet minutes are not going to go out onto the transport. So I'll go back to the model again and talk about the outside plant costs. And again, after the ratios, the outside plant cost comes in. We are excluding non-switch transport fiber, most generally the services that was discussed in the last testimony of cable TV and those kind of things, transiting circuits, and special access, so a point-to-point that is not switched. The remaining plant cost then is divided by the transport minutes, again excluding the local piece, and the outside plant cost is 0.0208, so approximately two cents. In this case, this is McCook. I failed to this example. So that was the outside plant. That's the fiber, the interoffice fiber. Now, exhibit TER8 is the transport electronic costs. Again, comes in with the ratioed cost. We are excluding the transiting circuits and the special access. Probably notice that on the last one there was a non-switched allocation. Well, we don't switch video, so it would not be part of this. Remaining electronic costs are divided by transport minutes, and then the transport electronic costs are 0.012. You also have an exhibit that is TER9 and TER10, and you may be familiar with this. This is the U.S. West at the time unit rates versus AT&T, and these are the rates that were produced out of that. The one thing that I would like to point out in this is that later there will be a comparison of as a particular method of allocation being discussed here.
Mr. Eklund, the exhibits that you originally referred the commission to, TER, I believe, 1 through 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, that detailed the model, I believe you referred to McCook in those. Did you follow that same FLEC model for all of the petitioners in this case? And let's start with Kennebec Telephone Company. What was the result of the FLEC model for Kennebec?
It is 0.04, or excuse me, 4 cents or 0.04.
And do you believe that the model that you ran for Kennebec properly comports with the FCC rules and requirements for the FLEX study?
Yes, I do.
Let's turn to McCook. You referenced it in the model, but I don't believe we heard what the proposed FLEC rate is for McCook. Could you please tell the commission what that is?
Yes, it's 0.0429.
Let's talk about Santel Communications Cooperative. What is the result of the FLEC study for Santel?
0.0331.
And finally, West River Cooperative Telephone Company. What is the result of the FLEC rate for West River?
0.275. Can I get a clarification? Was that the original cost study or the revised one? There was a mistake that he noted and adjusted for.
And that's the next question I was going to ask. Were those the? Did you at some point rerun the FLEC studies from the original version?
Yes, I did.
And why did you do that?
Mr. Conrad, in his testimony, pointed out that the transiting circuits were still in the out. The costs were still in the study, but the transiting circuits were not. So the allocation was incorrect, and we've corrected that, and these rates reflect that.
So the rates that you just told the commission about are the corrected rates and the results of the FLEC study that you reran for these four petitioners?
Yes.
For purposes of the record, we had originally submitted with Mr. Eklund's testimony summaries of the four FLEC rates. Those are confidential, so we would like to admit those as individual exhibits, which would allow Mr. Eklund's testimony then to be public and simply exclude the FLEC models themselves. And we would offer Exhibit 40, which would be Kennebec Telephone Company. That would be intended to be confidential.
Is there an exhibit number that's on there?
These would have been provided, I believe, in his rebuttal testimony as TER-11 for each of the companies.
Okay, so for is TER-11, and did you say?
Exhibit 40 for Kennebec.
Kennebec.
And it would be confidential.
Confidential.
TER-11 for McCook would be Exhibit 41. It would be confidential. TER-11 for Santel would be Exhibit 42, also confidential. And TER-11 for West River would be Exhibit 43, also confidential. And we would offer those at this time.
Are there any objections to Exhibits 40, 41, 42, and 43? Right, the TER-11 with the rebuttal. Okay, those will be admitted.
Thank you.
And I apologize, I don't believe I heard the resolution of whether Mr. Wieczorek had an objection to the admission of those exhibits.
No, I admitted
them. Thank you.
Sorry, I admitted them.
Mr. Eklund, there's been some testimony offered in this case that the FLEC rates for the petitioners are too high. Can you talk with the commission a little bit about the complaints that have been offered in that regard?
Sure. I believe that the rates have been stated that they are too high. My model is a quantitative model, not a comparative model. I believe that Mr. Conwell's testimony compares the different companies to each other, and I don't believe that they can be compared. I think they need to stand on their own, and we have a model that is Consortia's model. It's not these clients' model, and we use that model for a client that needs a FLEC study. And so we run inputs through it, went through it, and the outcome is that company's outcome and not a comparative model.
The other thing that has been discussed today and was discussed at length in all of the testimony offered, and you have a fairly expansive discussion in your pre-filed testimony, but could you give the commission a brief summary of the difference between the two models that are being, or excuse me, the two methods that are being compared in this particular case, which would be path versus bandwidth?
Sure. I'll start with PATH. That's the method that is utilized by Consortia's model. A path is a path, if you will. A DSO is a path, a DS1 is a path, and a DS3 is a path. The bandwidth method of allocation, it's not, you know, different. I want to make it clear, it's not different FLEC studies. This is allocation of costs, and particularly those that have been mentioned, you know, specifically like Santel and the 121 circuits. But the bandwidth method would have a DS0 be 1, and a DS1 24, and a DS3 672. So it does go by bandwidth, and then on up if from there. I believe the PATH method is a valid method. It is supported by NECA, the National Exchange Carrier Association, in the interstate access rate cost study. NECA believes that it is a valid rate. It allocates 50-50, and although they say it's not a perfect cost causation, it is an acceptable method. What they refer to bandwidth is a voice grade equivalency. So voice grade at DS0 and the equivalency, the DS3 is the 672 voice grade equivalencies, is not an acceptable method. It doesn't represent the cost causation of the service, and I don't believe it's an appropriate method. If that allocation is used, and we've been talking about it here, if you allocate so much of the cost, what NECA is saying is it allocates so much of the cost to that service that there would be no demand for that service eventually, because it's so costly that the demand would be zero, so all the costs would come back to switching. So, for instance, in the Quest exhibit, I believe that proceeding was held under, which Quest I think, yes, West versus AT&T, was held under the 252 rules, pricing rules, and it is not a voice equivalent. You know, it's something less than that, and you can tell in the exhibit that it isn't. But if you take a DS0 rate, which is 18.21% on exhibit 10, and multiply that times 24, which would be the equivalent of a DS1, the cost would be $437. And if you take a DS0, the 1821, and multiply it times for a DS3, which is 672, is $12,237. So at some point, the allocation of costs to this particular service would allocate so much that there wouldn't be any demand. And NECA is not allowing, which, you know, this voice grade equivalency in their allocations within their studies.
Do you believe that the models that you have put together for these petitioners comport with the FCC rules, which you referenced earlier?
Yes, I do. The direct investment follows TELRIC rules, as evidenced by the testimony this morning, basically. And it also, and along with that, a reasonable allocation of the common investment and the expenses. So, and I believe that this model does that.
Do you believe that provides a fair summary of the testimony provided in this case?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Eklund. At this time, we would offer Mr. Eklund's testimony, his direct testimony in TC07-112, would be marked as Petitioner Exhibit 46. Mr. Eklund's direct testimony in TC07-114 would be offered as Petitioner's Exhibit 47. Mr. Eklund's direct testimony in TC07-115 would be offered as Petitioner's Exhibit 48. And Mr. Eklund's direct testimony in TC07-116 would be offered as Petitioner's Exhibit 50. Rebuttal testimony is identical for all of the petitioners and would be offered as Petitioner's Exhibit 51.
What was 49?
I'm sorry, that's 50. The rebuttal testimony of Tim Eklund would be offered as Exhibit 50. I apologize.
So the direct of 116 was 49?
Correct. I apologize.
Okay, the rebuttal had exhibits attached. Are you offering any other exhibits besides 11? Exhibit 11.
The remainder of the exhibits which Mr. Eklund referred to are attached to his rebuttal testimony. We have simply excluded the cost studies, which would be Exhibit 11, which were previously marked.
Okay, so all other exhibits are still attached to his rebuttal, except for Exhibit 11?
Correct.
Okay. Any objection to Exhibits 46, 47, 48, 49, and 50? I will admit Exhibits 46 through 50, and none of those are confidential.
Correct.
Okay.
So we tender the witness for cross-examination.
Mr. Izard.
Mr. Eklund, I want to clear up something on a statement you made. I'm not quite sure you understand or that the statement what you're trying to convey. You don't have a law degree.
No.
Have you actually read the Eighth Circuit case, the Western Wireless case versus the Nebraska Commission?
Yes, I have.
Okay, we understand that the Eighth Circuit didn't validate the PATH method. They actually said they found it problematic, but didn't feel there was enough in the record for them to overturn it.
I believe the results of the model was validated with the Eighth Circuit.
But you agree with me, the Eighth Circuit said they found the rate and the way it was developed for transport problematic.
The PATH method was not used in that model.
You just said that the Eighth Circuit validated the PATH model in your testimony.
No, I didn't say the PATH.
Okay, so we understand this then. The Eighth Circuit, it's not your testimony that the Eighth Circuit's approved the PATH model as.
That's correct. I said NECA has approved the PATH model.
And that's for NECA tariffs, correct?
Yes.
And we're not in a NECA case here, are we?
No, we're not.
So let's talk about this PATH method a bit. Can you look at Western Wireless 9, or Western Wireless, Altel 9, flashback there. It's up in the upper corner there. I have it on the way. And you were here when there was discussion on this exhibit with Mr. Weber, were you not?
Yes, sir.
Now, I think it's important to understand what you're saying in the PATH method, and I'm going to try to break it down into my simplistic way of looking at things. What you did in the PATH method, if we're looking at Altel 9, and copies of Altel 9, I believe, are sitting in front of you there, Ms. Wiest, in case somebody wants a copy of it. You took all the DSOs and added them up. And this example is West River, and you come up with 1,008.
It's marked confidential.
It is marked confidential. All right, then yes, it is.
You need to go off.